you're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, I feel your touch. You're still Lord. Still my Father, you'll always be mine for all time. You're still Lord. Let's sing it now, church. Oh, you're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, I feel your touch, you're still Lord, you're still Lord, you're still my Father, you'll always be mine for all of time. Oh, sing it one more time now with all your heart. Yes, you're still my Father. In little or much, oh, we feel your touch. You're still Lord. Even when there is no more time, Brother Terry, he's still going to be our Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love him. You're glad to be in his house tonight. Praise the Lord. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Wednesday night. Place some more of that, brethren, if you will. Give me seven. Hallelujah. God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Brother West, good to see you, buddy. Samuel, good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Amen. Oh, let's sing that one more time, if you will. Oh, now you're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, we feel your touch. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter wants us to continue to pray for Riley Butcher. The doctor put in a weaning shunt. It's a drain into a drain to drain the fluid off. Please pray that the fluid will go back to normal. So we certainly want to pray for that request tonight, Riley Butcher, that the Lord would be mindful of that need and that person's life. Sister Martha Ann says, please pray for Sister Jan Winters tonight. Her legs are very swollen and painful. She's also having episodes of dizziness. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Jan Winters tonight. The Lord would be with her. And Sister Ruth Ward wants to say that she is praising the Lord for healing her. After Brother Donnie, the saints of God prayed for her on Saturday night, she's claiming healing, and she wants to thank the Lord for that. God bless you, Sister Ward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just thankful for what the Lord is doing. Brother Larry Miller is here in the service with us tonight. Give him a nice hand tonight. He wants to thank everyone for their prayers, visits, cards, and calls. He is doing a whole lot better, so we want to praise the Lord for touching Brother Larry tonight. A friend requests prayer for Doug Ralston, or Polston, I'm sorry, Doug Polston from New Albany, Kentucky. He has a tumor on his brain, and the doctors say that if it is removed, he will be blind. He's only 37 years old, and he's asking for God's mercy. So we just want to commit that need unto our Lord tonight. We know that God is a miracle-working God, and we just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Connie Cook, not feeling well tonight, desires our prayers that we would remember her. Sister Linda Jablonski says she has some medical issues right now. Please keep me in your prayers. Also, she has an unspoken prayer request, and we certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Junior Davis as he readies for some chemotherapy treatments that's going to be taking place in the next few days. So certainly want to pray for our brother. All of our needs among our local assembly here, we want to remember those folks tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Don't you? Just remain seated. Brother Jim Babb is going to come at this time. He's going to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. But he has an announcement he'd like to make to you tonight. So Brother Jimmy, the Lord bless you as you come at this time. Bless you, buddy.
Just wanted to present something to you here. I guess you would call this a community, Tri-Cities region type deal. I was visited by the director of the Human Blood Donor Services last Thursday here at the church. And evidently they're in dire need of blood. And they're going out to churches, to different organizations, workplaces, asking for anyone that cooperates that they would be very grateful. I talked with Brother Donnie concerning this, and they came to us. The initiation was them coming to us. It wasn't us trying to get up some drive or some things like that. But we thought it would be a good time for us to help our community and the Tri-City region area. I guess the main criteria, and we'll answer some questions in the library as far as who can and who can't, and some of the RNs have offered their help to me. But they're asking that you must be between the ages of 17 and 75. And you may think you have a medical condition that would keep you from being a donor, but surprisingly, you can donate with a lot of conditions that maybe many of us are carrying in our bodies at present time. So what I need for you to do, if you're interested in this, I need for you to come to the library as quickly as possible. They don't like to come out anywhere because of the expense of moving their equipment and everything for less than 25 people who can donate. So we'll see how it goes. Again, this is no pressure. Nobody's trying to get anybody to do anything. We're just simply asking if you would like to do this. Maybe a time that we ourselves could use what we're donating. So just for something that you can consider, and let us know in the library as soon as possible, and then we'll be able to give them an answer. It would be done in our fellowship hall. You wouldn't have to go anywhere except here at the church. They would set up in our fellowship hall. Everything would be done over there. So keep that in mind, and let us know in the library, and we'll try to answer any questions that you may have. But this time, let's stand and go to the Lord for these prayer requests. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to come to you tonight, Lord. for the many blessings that you've given us in such an abundant manner. We could never say thank you, but we can try. We're grateful to you for your amazing grace in our lives and being the conqueror, Lord, that gives us hope, that gives us the things in life that we know that we need, and the victory that you won at Calvary, Lord, we will take advantage of all through eternity. How grateful we are to you tonight for your unmerited grace that's kept your hand upon each of our lives that stand here before you. And we pray for the needs that Brother Lewis made known here tonight, that people have had confidence. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to take each one at heart. We know we have several in our own congregation that facing very severe needs in their body, but you are our Lord. And we have confidence in that, Lord. And we're grateful that we can stand here tonight knowing that the Almighty God is ever present, Lord, just for the simply of us asking and dedicating our lives to you. And pray that you'll help us as a congregation to grow and mature in your word. We thank you for how you visit us with your word, Lord. And not only that we're sitting here hearing tremendous and great things, but please help us for it to be part of our lives. We just ask that you would go with each and every individual. Bless our service tonight. We're gathered here for your glory and your honor. And may we fulfill that in each heart. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You can be seated tonight. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless all those folks as well. It's good to be in church tonight, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. We've worn out around here. We got some new songs. Actually, we're going to learn when we can get everybody here to practice, and that hopefully that won't be too long in the making, but we do have some good songs that we're going to learn, the Lord willing, as a congregation, and I believe you'll like to sing them. But let's wear another one out tonight. We've wore it out before, but I'm so glad to know this, that something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad you're being held by a higher power than your own? Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. Play it, buddy. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality. Jesus is holding me. Sing back for us again. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. It's a reality. Jesus is holding me.
Trials of this world,
the song, guys,
were getting closer.
Oh, yes, they were.
More than I could bear. And I was on the verge of
Jesus
giving over.
Oh,
I passion, his desire to steal away my faith.
Oh, I like this part. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's do just a little bit of that old song tonight. I thank God for the Lighthouse. Aren't you glad there's a place you can come to that'll spread the word of God without favoritism, without partiality? The ground's level for every one of us. I appreciate that, don't you? Let's sing a little bit of this old song tonight. You can be seated. Brother Leniel's getting ready to give us a song here just in a few minutes. But I'm so glad for the Lighthouse tonight. Yes, I thank God for the Lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the Lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for, oh, sing it now, church. Sing the chorus again. Yes, I thank God. Sing it. Yeah.
sent from the rocks of sin. He has shone His light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Amen. Brother Lynn, you'll come give us the song tonight. Appreciate Him, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy.
I have a ton of requests for this song. I think there's two of them. Pretty big people, you know. But anyway, I'm glad to get any requests. I think this song might bless you if you will just receive it as it came to me. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Amen. Once upon a time, I was a sinner. Satan had turned me into a raging beast. Oh, but Calvary turned me into a Christian. As I was kissed by the Prince of Peace, and we'll live happy ever after in a place where He's gone to build for me. And take me in a rapture, and we'll all live happy ever after. And it came to pass, I was captured by denomination, tied down by the ropes of what their leaders have said. Oh, then Jesus came on His white horse of deliverance, and we went riding off in the sunset. Oh, and we'll live happy ever after in a place where He's gone built for me. Soon He'll come and take me in a rapture, and we'll all live happy ever after.
Amen.
I'm ready to.
Well, I've seen all this world I want to see. Things down here ain't got no chains on me. I'm not worried about the future because I know He's ready to come. I'm ready to go. It seems like everybody's talking about heaven. If you want to go along, you better be a believer. I got a feeling someday soon we'll be leaving. If you're going to ride this train, you better not be slow. He's ready to come. I'm ready to go. Sometimes it seems like everything goes wrong. I just sit around and cry and sing sad songs. And he whispers in my ear, lets me know he's ready to come. Be ready to go.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Revelation chapter 22. Let's begin reading verse 1. The hope of the church in this hour is the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. That's my home.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how we thank you, Father, for these blessed promises that you have left to us in this blessed roadmap we call the Bible. We're so grateful, Lord, that you've given us a believing heart that we can hear these things. And somehow beyond scientific explanation, beyond reasoning, beyond human understanding, we believe they are the truth. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us as we look into these things tonight. May you give us a clearer understanding, not only of that which shall be, but of that which is now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to call your attention back to verse 4. And I'd like to use these words for our thought tonight. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. His face is connected with his glory in the revelation of himself. God, in the way that he chose to reveal himself, is somewhat different than the way that we might think when we say the word face. Under the law, the giving of the law, they were not allowed to see his face. But under grace, God did something that was so profound in that we were allowed to see the grace of God, the mercy of God, the heart of God, the glory of God through the face of Jesus Christ. And God, we know in Exodus, let's read if you would in Exodus chapter 33 verse 17, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. I know thee by name. Now God did not just know him and say, oh, your name is Moses. But God knew him by reputation or by character. So here God is going to reveal a portion of his glory to Moses that even Abraham and Isaac and many of the fathers before them had never been privileged to see. And God says the reason is because I know you by your reputation. I know you by your name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now Moses never asked to see the face of God. He never actually asked directly to see the body of God, but he asked to see the glory of God. And he said, I will make all my goodness. Now listen how God says this about himself. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. He didn't ask to. The human face. Now wait a minute. Look at the word face. Presence. Person. In front of. To the front of. In the presence of. In the face of. He did not ask to see God's eyes, his nose, his lips, his mouth, his ears, but he asked to see God's face. Glory. God is not a man like you and I would think of a man, but God is a spirit. Now Moses asked to see his doxa, his glory. So God says, no man can see my form, my imagery. No man can be able to behold me in this way. But I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will put my hand there, and when I pass by, I will cause my goodness to pass by. And I will proclaim my name. Well, why? Why is that necessary? God making the proclamation of his name is the shadowing of grace. God allowing him to see this part of the person of God. Now watch, he says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me. Now wait a minute, me in face. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me. So which is it? His face or him? It is him. But don't get in your mind like this. So the face of God is the personality of God revealed to humanity. Now once then, if God is a spirit and God would choose to reveal himself, and he does of course in stages. Notice in verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff to the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt not be seen. Amen. Now here God is going to reveal a portion of himself that had not been revealed to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the patriarchs. For it is now a new dispensation. And the law of God is fixing to be revealed. And with the further revealing of the word will be a further revealing of the person of God. Now you say, what's this got to do with us seeing in heaven? Exactly the same thing. The face of God cannot be further revealed until there is a change of dispensations. Till it will reveal God by the measure that he wants to be made known in eternity
That measure can never be fully revealed as long as we are in time. You understand? Now, Moses had a great walk with God and a great thing that actually happened to him even prior to this. But what's fixing to take place? The revealing of the law. The revealing of the word. In that is a portion of God's character. Now, remember, the heart of God was never revealed in the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Now, if you thought that that was the very heart of God, you would despise God as a very mean, selfish type of a God. But the law was not the heart of God. The law was that which was necessary to keep them under that dispensation, and we know that a great element of it was controlled by fear. It was not the law of God. Even the appearance that it made, it did not appear in hearts and bows and all that sort of thing on the mountain, but it was lightning and thunder and trembling and shaking. Why? It was related to fear. Now, notice then, whenever God desires to reveal a further part of himself. Now, when it comes from Moses in revealing the law, now, once it moves in into the Levitical order, God giving the prophet, knowing that the prophet would be taken off the scene with what would be left, would be the word by which the people would further worship God. Then God would not leave one prophet after another, after another, after another, after another, but God would leave a priesthood which would take the words of that prophet, and the priesthood would come to the people, and then the people would administer that to the presence of God, and the priest would administer the sacrifices back to the people. So the people had this priesthood which was there to be able to go between them and God, not to receive the word, but to be able to offer sacrifice. But there was another thing that the priesthood would do. Now, they were to pronounce blessings on the people. They were there to be able to intervene between the people and God. They were also there to offer sacrifice. They were there to be able to receive offerings and all that. But they were, by representation, to place the name of God upon the people. Now, by doing that, they had been given the administration under the law, which we'll find out here tonight, that Paul called it the administration of death. But under that, they were, by the Spirit of God, able to actually call the name of God and put the name of God on the people. Watch this in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. This is instruction now of God speaking to the priest. They shall say this to the people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. So now here the face of God again is the personality of God that is being revealed in that portion of time. So here is the priest now there to tell this to the people, that the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee. But yet none of these people would ever see as far as the perfect resemblance or the imagery of the face of God. They would never see that. So is God saying something that's not going to come to pass? No. God is telling them exactly what he wants them to know for that hour. So they would say, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. So the face of God will be the personality of God as he turns toward man to be able to see that portion of his glory. And what we just read in Revelation 22, if we are going to be allowed to see the very face of the Lord Jesus, then how much of the personality of God will be revealed in this eternal day? It will not be the law. It will not even be where we are now. But if we're going to see his face, it will truly be the fullness of time that has been fulfilled, and we break into a new day. Oh, thank God. It is the eternal day. Now, if you're there to say these words to the children of Israel, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. You know, and when you realize now, whenever this would become a figurative saying, all through the Old Testament in the face of God. Now, the majority of people, of course, never saw the face of God, but it was a metaphor, something that they chose to use, in which the representation of God's favor or God's displeasure was expressed toward them. So if they would say, may the Lord shine his face upon you, that would mean that you'd found favor in the eyes of God. And if God, it was said in the Bible, that God turned his face away from you, then that meant that the personality of God had shined upon you in displeasure because of something that you did. But it was all revealed in how God's face was perceived. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're looking at me funny. It's how God's face was perceived. So if God's face was smiling upon you, then that meant that your behavior, your actions, your character, all of that, you had found favor in God's eyes. But if God turned his face away from you, don't you understand the crucifixion? Does not this bring the crucifixion an even more perfect view? That in order for God the Father, the Spirit, to turn away from Jesus, the man, the body, the sacrifice, the atonement, it meant that there was sin upon that body. It meant God's displeasure. He was treading through the winepress of the wrath of God. And he treaded along. God the Father, the invisible, could not stand there and look upon him on the cross and say, "You are pleasing me, you are pleasing me." But his face had to turn away. Oh man! His face had to turn away because God could not look upon sin. Notice this, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. Now notice this is a metaphor, which is something that God is using it in a way that they can understand it, but it does not mean that God is literally turning his face. But it is something that is used in a symbolic form. So God said when they disobey me, talking about his covenant people, when they disobey me, when they get away from my word, when they worship false gods, then I will actually turn my face away from them, which is a sign of great displeasure. You imagine? When the elect of God live in this city and they never leave, and the sun never sets because there is no sun there, and they shall see his face forever and forever and forever and forever. If you're going to be constantly there in his presence in the eternal day, that must mean you have found eternal favor in the eyes of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. I will hide my face from them and they shall be devoured. Now notice what happens when God hides his face as it was from the people. They shall be devoured and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So they shall say on that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us. So here the face of God is identified with the presence of God. So if God's face simply turned away from them, as we would say to them, that signified the presence of God was not among them. So if the Lord caused his face to shine upon us, then that means his presence is here. Oh, Happy Valley. What would be the greatest thing we could have for God to do us for us on this hill? Would it not be for God's presence to be with us always? Would it not be for God to be able to shine his face toward us? And if he will look toward us in divine favor, then that means he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us when we're up or down or weary or in or out. As long as his face is upon us, we can face whatever we go through in life. Notice in verse 18, I will surely hide my face in that day from all the evils which they have wrought, in that they turned unto other gods. Notice in Psalms 34:16, the face of the Lord is against them to do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from there. Now notice, where's it all identified? In his face. So when God's face was set against them, now we know how that we identify each one another by face, and you know your wife and your children and close friends, and you can tell by wrinkled brow, you can tell by a certain twitch in their face that you know one another very well, and you can read without them saying one word. You know the expression of their face, you know a whole lot of what's going through their mind. Is that right? When you think about God, that God chose his face, and through his face, it would be revealed. So in the Old Testament, this is why we would never see the Lord Jesus in the context of the Old Testament. Because the mystery of the face of God was hid in the heart of God, which could not be revealed till the Son of God came on the earth. We could see little bits and pieces over here and over there, but would never truly see him until God had a face. Oh, hallelujah! Until the face of God was manifested in a human temple. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, but when his face turns toward man. Notice Psalms 4:6. There be many that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Amen. Psalms 44:3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. So here again, the face of God is represented to the elect by divine favor, and it gave them their inheritance. Now, all that we have in Christ Jesus today, all the affirmations that we're talking about, all the great things that God has done, which one of them did you do for yourself? Which one did I do for myself? Not a one of them. Not a one of them. Where'd they all come from? His face. So when I look at it, what do you look at Revelation? What do you think Revelation is? It puffs up your head, makes you more knowledgeable than other people. Is that what you see in the face of Jesus Christ? Do you see a puffed up attitude? Do you see an arrogant spirit? Do you see a puffed up preacher? If that's what you're seeing, you're looking in the face of a man and not the face of God. I don't see puffed up attitude when I look in the face of Jesus. I don't see arrogance in the face of Jesus. I don't see human pride in the face of Jesus. I see all that is lovely, all that is righteous, all that is pure. Notice Psalms 80 and 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine. And we shall be saved. Cause thy face to shine. Why would God need a shiny face? Cause thy face to shine. What is this word shine? Illuminate. So bring your face out of obscurity. Bring your face. Take the veils away from your persona that we might be enlightened, that when we look upon you, remember when Moses gave the law and they could not look upon his face because the glory of God, which glory was done away with? Oh my, what about the face of Jesus Christ? Notice Psalms 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now notice again in Numbers chapter 6 verse 25. This is what the ministry now is to say to the people. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious. May the Lord cause himself as the sun of righteousness to be revealed to you. Now you realize we cannot do this to each other. I might have a revelation of something so wonderful in the Word, might just tear me all to pieces. And I try to preach that to you. But unless it's revealed to you, it becomes, once it leaves my mouth, it becomes knowledge of my revelation. Don't you understand? That's where many folks are. They don't have a revelation of the Godhead. They don't have a revelation of serpent seed. Why women shouldn't cut their hair, on and on and on. If they did, there ain't nobody. There ain't nobody. There ain't enough devils in hell ever talking out of it. But if it's only second-handed, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. May he grant you his presence. Lord Jesus, and be gracious unto thee by granting you large measures of grace. This is what gracious is. By granting you large measures of grace. Now many times, why is it that we always think about grace and sin? Why do we think grace and sin? You know, all that God gives us by grace is not just pardon when we do wrong. But God gives us unmerited favor, which is revelation, which is healing, which is much more than the forgiveness of sin. We don't just need grace for forgiveness of sin. We need grace, which is unmerited favor, to help us see the face of God. Notice in verse 26, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Adonai. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Now watch how that they are to take this in representation, the ministry, is to take this in representation and keep this before the people. It's not God to say this. It's not the prophet to say it. It's the Levites, the ministers, the priesthood. They wasn't to say it once, but they're to say it to every generation that comes on the earth. Every generation to get their chance at a fresh revival. Woo! Hallelujah! I love to read about the revival in the 50s. I ain't living in the 50s. I was born in the 50s, but I ain't a baby no more. Come on now, we don't want just our young people to hear about a revival that happened here years ago. But we want to preach a Christ that is so real that they can have their chance at a revival. Now. Now. Not just come to church and sit there like a bump on a pickle, but to know a living God and His face to shine on them. Now what's this? The Lord lift up His countenance. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. So the Lord ain't looking at the floor, and the Lord ain't looking at the ceiling, the Lord ain't looking, but the Lord lifting up His countenance to look you right straight in the eye and let you know He loves you. He don't just love this church. He don't just love the message people. But the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Notice what He's telling there. That they would be able to see God. They would be able to see the person of God. If they could do that through thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. How much more clearly ought we be able to see Him? May the Lord lift up His countenance upon us. That we as individuals can look directly in the face of God through Jesus Christ. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee shalom. Shalom is a comprehensive word including the concepts of completeness, security, health, tranquility, contentment, friendship, and peace with God. So the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and the Lord give thee shalom. The Lord give thee peace and the Lord give you contentment. How's He going to do it, Brother Dale? By raising His countenance upon us. You want to see God? You want to see the face of God? Don't you understand? When we're feeding on the unfailing body word of this hour, don't you see what we're talking about? We're not feeding on the personality of Brother Branham or the personality of some preacher. We're feeding on the character of God. And when we're feeding on God's character, His face is shining on us. He's causing His light to come from His face to ours. Let's look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Watch Paul now as he runs a parallel from the Old Testament. He says, for we preach not ourselves. I wish some of the message brothers could figure that out. Some preachers preach themselves and preach their church and preach their ministry and either that, or they preach their trials and they preach their tests and they preach how everybody hates them and they preach themselves all the time. We need to make more room for Jesus in this message. We need to make more room for the personality of God, not mine. Woo! For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Who better is there to preach? And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Now remember, ministers must know Christ Himself. I will never, knowing any other minister here, any other minister in the message, ever be able to project to you the face of God unless I know that face. I can never make his face real to you if it's not real to me. How many preachers have we known stood up and preached and preached and preached, and now they could preach such deep things, but always a little element missing somewhere. And they got the quotes, they got the law, they got the Torah, they got the Mishnah, but they don't have the face. Amen. I'd rather hear a preacher preach that's got the face than a preacher that's got all the theology and no face. Now watch in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now this is why Paul sums up in the 6th verse what he was getting to in the 5th verse. This is why we don't preach ourselves. Because there's nothing in my face worth preaching about. Oh, will we share things? Sure we will. But friend, I can't set you free preaching about me and my life and this and that and the other. That's not what you're here to feed on. You're here to feed on the panium of God. The face of God, not the personality of some preacher. They had discerned in the face of Jesus Christ divine perfection. All they saw in their own face was human frailty. Now notice, God is now moved and excelled in glory. Now the glory that fell upon Moses was a wonderful glory until you compared it to this. Then it dissipated and faded away. Now watch this. He says in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now watch how he's paralleling this to the actual creation and the beginning of the earth coming under the dispelling of darkness in the beginning. Watch how he runs it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Genesis. So here Paul takes the new creation back to the very same resemblance of the old order creation of light coming on the earth. For God who commanded, let there be, and there was. Now here he likens our new birth to the same thing. Because it is the same thing. Oh, hallelujah. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined. For the same God has said, let there be light. That same God has shined in our heart. With ore, the Hebrew word ore, which is stars, luminary objects? No. The light of the gospel. You understand what a great miracle that God did when he was able to get the gospel light in your soul. Not in your head. Not in just, well, my family's always been this. No, I'm talking about when God, the same God, oh, hallelujah, when the earth was covered over the darkness, and yet there were seeds laying down beneath that water. It was the same thing with a human being, the prophet said. That seed was laying down in your soul, and the same Spirit of God said, let there be light over her soul. Let there be light over my son's soul. But if that's going to be, there's got to be a further revealing of the face. You can't speak light to the soul under the revealing of the face of Exodus 33. The face has to come into clearer view. You hearing me? I know you're still wondering where I'm going. Don't worry, I'm still on the pages of the Bible, on the pages of the message. Now notice this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. To give the light that we might be enlightened once. Now God is not giving it to make us something appear. When God gave the law to Moses, he shared the glory of deity and the glory of the law with that man who was packing it. But it was from the face of Yahweh. from the face of the character, the poneum of God that was revealed at that time, was thundered on Sinai. So when you see that man coming down, he could still be angry. He could have wrath and all kinds of things. This is the ministration of death. Now notice, so the face must change. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So now is here another God? Another personality? Another person? Separate from the person who is revealing it over here? Or is it just a further revealing of the same person in a different form and in substance? In the face of Jesus Christ. Now notice then, if we through eternity will look upon Him and we shall see His face, it will require another change. Because now we see His face, His personification, His character, who He is, the express image of the living God, and we read about Him in the Bible, we read about Him in the message, and we felt His presence, have we not? But yet there must be another change come. If not, then the heaven will be a continuation of this same life. So we'll be preaching, making altar calls, praying for the sick. Unless somebody gets a face change. I ain't talking about a facelift now. So the very knowledge of God is revealed in the New Testament through the face of Jesus. Now watch Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones. Now watch how he compares the law to the gospel. That the law was the ministration of death. But the gospel is the ministration of life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones. Wonder why God had it wrote on stones. Signify the hardness. The harshness. Judgmental. No giving. Aren't you glad your Bible pages bend? That's grace, brother. Grace. Oh, it don't compromise now. It don't compromise. But aren't you glad it's not that law? Man, I'll tell you one thing. We throw the commandments around. We cut everybody off. You know, folks in the message go around with a measuring stick. They want to measure how long the man's hair is and the women's sleeves and all that sort of thing. You're under the wrong dispensation. You're under the ministration of death. Produces bondage. So God didn't choose skin. Animal skin to write the Ten Commandments, but stone. Glory. But the foreshadowing of the change started revealing itself through the ministry of the prophets. Because the prophets started writing on skins. Woo! Y'all ought to shout on that, and that rolled right out of heaven. Woo! Oh, hallelujah! God having them to change what? They start speaking about grace. Aren't you glad the book of Ruth was written on skins, not on rocks? Amen. The foreshadowing of what God was going to do. He began to change the administration while it was leading to the new face. Praise the Lord! Lord Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us that the law was delivered to Moses by the hands of angels. But the gospel was given to the apostles through the hands of Jesus. Where did John see the seven church angels at? In his hands. In his hands. Where was the seven church age messengers at? In his hands. Y'all better be careful what you say about these guys. Praise the Lord. They were certainly identified up here pretty high up on the body. Amen. Now watch this. So the ministration of death was written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now, there was a visible Shekinah. Those of you that have seen Michelangelo's statue of Moses, you may have wondered, if you don't know, why those two horns are sticking up on his head. And that was because of a translation from the Old Testament to where they'd come out of the Chaldean captivity. And they begin to translate and move these words around. And the Hebrew word for glory and shoned and all of that was very close to horned. H-O-R-N-E-D. So they put it in there, and the translators put it in there. So Michelangelo, of course, with that background, when he made this, and many pictures of Moses of that time frame had these horns. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen it on the statue in the pictures. They thought that that word was horned. But you know what? It was a different image in the face. Now God, here God pulled Moses up into his glory, being a foreshadow of Christ, which was to come. But the glory that God gave to Moses when Moses was bringing the law, he would come out and he'd say, God said this and God said that. And Moses had a veil over his face because they couldn't look at him because there's so much glory on him that his face shone and they couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand the look of, where was the glory? It wasn't his hands for miracles. It wasn't his feet for shouting. It was his face for personification. Oh, glory! Don't just give me shouting. Don't just give me miracles. Give me the face of God. Give me the light of God, the countenance of God. Amen. So the skin of Moses' face shone with his glory. So Brother Bram said he'd go into that pillar of fire and he'd become God. And he'd walk out and reveal the law and he was Moses again. Then he'd walk back in and he'd become God. What are you talking about God? What Moses was God? It was the personification of God in a human being. That Shekinah was not produced by Moses. So here the image, wherever God chooses, oh Lord, wherever God chooses to put that Shekinah, he consecrates it as holy. Do you understand? That Shekinah on his face was nothing compared to what you got today in the form of the new birth of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? That Shekinah of God, oh, if it was on our face, it would be putting out every light in Johnson City. But God hid it in earthen vessels. So the glory of the revealing of the law, it would shine on Moses' face. And then he would go back in and he would come back out and it would shine. But they couldn't look at it. Neither could they look at the end of it to see when it would stop. Because it was hidden symbol in his face. Well, I can see already this is something y'all going to have to listen to 2 or 3 times. And remember, God chose his face that the Shekinah would be revealed, but the mystery of the length of the law was held in his face. How shall not, verse 8, the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? The gospel. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, which the law was, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. We think it's wonderful now. We think it's wonderful knowing Jesus now by the way we know him. Wait till the glory excels to the next step. Can't you see what's going on? God is excelling his glory in the work of redemption and how he's dealing with man. Amen. When he come out of there, what was it? It was not God, the angry God coming down on Genesis 3. It was not Adonai. Who was it that come after Adam? The Lord God. The Lord God come after Adam, Jehovah Savior. Amen. The compound redemptive name of God revealed in what? The face as he come down in the wind. He chose to reveal himself, not just in his hands, not just in his feet, but in his face. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Friends, Luther had a wonderful message. And it was the glory of that day. But when Wesley came, his glory so excelled Luther. Luther's message no longer had glory. Why? Because God hated it by the reason of the glory that excelleth. It was the same with Pentecost. It was the same when God sent a prophet. Hang on now. For many, many years, the glory was on the signs and miracles and supernatural. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. But I'm going to tell you, for them, friends, it's moving on to bride glory now. That's no different than what he said. Same message, absolutely, word for word, because that is what he said. Amen. Amen. God didn't send Brother Branham for Brother Branham. He sent him for us. Because he knew we needed a glory that excelled Pentecost. I shouted in Pentecost. I run in Pentecost. But I needed a glory that would excel. A glory that would bring me closer to the face. Brother Chuck, we thought we knew him. We did know a portion of him. We did know his glory. But I knew more about his hands in Pentecost than I knew about his face. I knew more about his feet. I never really knew his face in the light of the scripture until I came to this message. And this message, I don't know what you hear when you listen to these tapes. I don't have before me the face of Brother Branham. I don't see the face of Brother Branham. That's not what it's leading me to. You understand? Many folks in the message are exactly the same way the folks was in the Old Testament by Moses. They see the glory on the prophet and they're blinded by that very thing. And they can't see that that glory was to excel under the bride's rapture. And they can't see that this hour, hold on, this hour right now is a greater hour than when it was when Brother Branham was here emptying wheelchairs and casting out devils and raising the dead, because now it's God in a body all over the world. It's this message made flesh in bride form. But yet, we have not one account in Scripture where Jesus' face ever illuminated before his resurrection. So looking at the outside, which would look like had the greater illumination? Moses or Jesus? Because now the glory is changing in Jesus. It's there! Oh, Moses couldn't have been a match stem compared to what he could have put out. But the glory went in. Lord have mercy! But yet if you're looking at it on the natural side, it would look as if though the prophet had more light than the bridegroom. Wake up, children! Don't you understand that's why folks miss it now? They're waiting for us to go over to the hospitals and into the hospital and have thousands, time thousands. That's not our day. Our day is to sweep the house, get all the coins ready, get ready, bride. We're ready to leave this world. The message folks back, sit back and cross their arms and look at it and say, I don't see nothing going on. A bunch of preachers running up and down the floor, quoting quotes and quoting scriptures. Jumping around and carrying on. I don't see nothing. You sound like the 14th cousin of the Pharisees. He said, Moses, we know, but this man, we don't know him. He said, if you'd know Moses, you'd know me. And I say it to you, if you'd know Brother Branham, you'd know what I'm talking about. If you know Brother Branham's message, you know that this hour is on its way. It is here. Glory to God. What is it, Alfred? That it's not being revealed in the face of William Branham. It's being revealed in the face of Jesus Christ in bride form. Lord, thank you, Jesus. So the law lost its glory and respect by reason of the surpassing glory, which was not visible, of course. Jesus looked like a man, no doubt, when he had pain and hunger, and he had hunger pains like any other man. Pain in his body, but squint and, you know, whatever more, like any other human being, had his human mannerisms. But all the glory that was hid behind that old badger skin. You see, this time it wasn't two tables of stone again. It was human skin. So the glory and the word and the heart and the persona of God, the very substance of God, was revealed through the face of Jesus Christ. So if you look at him and you look at Moses, trying to pray, oh God, let this happen, let that happen. Would you recognize God in that face? Sure. But Rich, would you recognize God in this face? Where have you laid him? John 11, Jesus wept. Glory to God. But what do we see in that face, Brother Dale? The heart of God. Moses couldn't reflect the heart of God, but here's the heart of God crying. In what? The face of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 11, for he says, for that which is done away is glorious. Much more that which remaineth is glorious. Do you understand this glory right here will never pass away? Its effects will still be going on in eternity. Praise be to God. You talking about long lasting. You talking about term insurance, brother. We have got it. The effects of seeing God in the face of Jesus Christ does not end, oh hallelujah, 33 AD or 60 AD or even 325 AD. It didn't end in 1965. It's still going on now. It'll be going on in the millennium. It'll be going on through eternity. How? Through the face. Through the face of Jesus Christ. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Listen. So the veil is put on his face to hide the glory and to hide the end. It was symbolic where? Not on his hands. He put his hand in his bosom to Pharaoh, not to the elect. The sign in the hand wasn't for you. First pull, second pull. It's that third pull. Oh, glory. Isn't it amazing? All these folks that are defecting from the message, they still want to hang on to first pull and second pull. And the third pull is what they want to get rid of. Let them go ahead and get rid of it. I'll take all they don't want. I'll take all they don't want because that's my pull, brother. I wasn't in the first pull. I wasn't in the second pull. The third pull is a bride's call. Revealing of the word. No higher order to reveal the word except than prophets. not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look, not at his face, but look to the end of that which is abolished. So the changing of the dispensation was hid in the face of their messenger, which had a veil over it. So if the end was written there and you could see it, then you'd have an idea. The glory's dissipating. The glory's fading. Can't you see why when Jesus came, they could not see? It was the end. Why? God hid it behind the veil in the face of the prophet. Lord, I wish somebody appreciated me. They could not see it. If God would have removed the veil and they would have stood there long enough, they saw the glory dissipate, less and less and less. But what did they do? They saw this brilliant face shining on this prophet of God. That's all they knew. That's all they rallied about. And the veil was there. But somehow or another, in behind the veil, the glory left. But they didn't know when it was. That's why when Jesus came, the prophet said, Moses said, the prophet said, Moses said, prophet said. But you see, the glory had dissipated behind the veil. And now the face had changed. Brother Branham said it was the devil in them priests telling them to keep the law of Moses. Isn't that strange? The devil in them priests telling them to keep the law of Moses. Now that would have been the thing to do up till that time. But you see, as long as the veil was on his face, they could not see the end when it run out. If they had, glory to God. If they had, they would have saw the face. They would have saw the imagery of Jesus in the face of Moses. If the message folks would have seen a ride, Brother Darrell, they would have not steadfastly looked in the face of Brother Branham. They would have saw the face of Christ. Christ Jesus pointing to this very hour. That's why when Brother Branham died, the whole world fell apart. Why? He was what they thought the glory ended up in. So the veil is not just to hide them from the brilliancy of the glory, but symbolically to hide the mystery of the dispensational change. Because if the glory changed in behind the veil, then you would know if it's 5 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago or an hour ago, right? If the veil was down like this and you saw the glory going off my face and say, oh, it's 8:22. It started at 8:22. I saw it. It started getting less and less. So 8:22, dude, we've got a good idea. But if all of a sudden it was over my face, brilliant, white, shining light, and the next time I took it down, it's all gone. The element of mystery from the time it started dissipating until it was gone, you have no idea when it was. All you just kept looking at the face. Don't you understand why Satan wants to convince folks Trinitarianism is the right thing? Because that makes Jesus face only one of three. The devil preaches Trinitarianism, but he don't believe it. He's one God all the way. He may try to convince you to be baptized in Titus, but if he's going to be baptized, he'll get baptized in Jesus' name. He's got more sense than that. Woo! Glory! Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So then the veil on his face was representation of the veil which would be upon their hearts. Yet the veil had been taken from his face, from their hearts, if they would believe it, in where? A new face.
Lord Jesus. Which veil is done away in Christ and could only be removed by Christ. Do you understand your veil of darkness and sin and religion could only be taken away by Christ himself? Friends, don't criticize folks if they can't see things you see. Don't criticize folks if they're good Baptists or Methodists or whatever more. And you, boy, I'll tell you one thing, they're blind. And if it wasn't for God's grace, you'd be just as blind as they are. You can't remove the veil. I tell you one thing, I made up my mind. How can you, being blind, make up your mind to remove a veil that you don't even know is there? It's one thing if you know you've got a veil, but if you don't know you're blind, how can you move it? If yours is moved, it's by God's grace. Watch this in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. Paul's speaking again about the dispensation of the Son of God now. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Wonder how many more there are. By whom he made the worlds. Now watch this Son. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Now the word rendered brightness occurs nowhere else in the New Testament except for right here. It means reflected splendor. Or the light which emanates from a luminous body. The rays or beams of the sun are its brightness. Or that by which the sun is seen and known. It is by him only that the true character and glory of God is known to men. Now notice who Jesus is. Who being the brightness of his doxa, which is glory, and the express image of his person. I love this word express. It's the Greek word character. The instrument used for engraving or carving. Now, before the English language would have come along and we said English letters, they would have called them in the Greek and the Hebrew and Chinese and many others. They would call them characters, as you know. Because it wasn't just letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But it might be two dots and a line, or it might be this, that, or the other. So instead of calling it a letter, they would have... they would have called it a character. So then Jesus is the brightness of his glory and the character or the image of his person. Now watch this. The instrument used for engraving or carving, the mark stamped upon that instrument or wrought out on it. A mark or a figure burned or stamped in. You're either going to have the mark of the beast or this one right here. If I'm going to be marked, let me be marked by the original character. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So he is the brightness of his glory and the express image. Now notice the figure burned or stamped in an impression, the exact expression or image of a person or a thing, a marked likeness, a precise reproduction in every respect, a facsimile or a fax. Woo! Jesus was the fax of God. Jesus was the facts of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can I have just a few more minutes? The brightness of his glory. And the express image of his person. This is the Greek word that is actually used for person in the New Testament. Prosopon, which means face or presence or countenance. But here in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, Paul does not use this word at all. He uses the word hypostasis, which means, listen to this, how peculiar, a setting or a place under, a thing put under, a substructure, a foundation, that which has actual existence. And do you understand when the King James Version was translated, they had already now for many years been living under the influence of the Nicaea Council. And when the English translators translated this verse, they chose the English word person because they were Trinitarians. But do you understand, up before 325 AD, they would have never read this scripture this way. Got you listening now, ain't I? They would have read it this way. He was the express image of his substance. Lord Jesus. Not an express image of another person. Lord, mercy, children. But the English use the word person when it's not even the same Greek word at all. But there shall be light in the evening time. So it has a complete different meaning. But they're still living under the effect of the Nicaea Council. When they think there's three persons in the Godhead. So when they translate the scripture, they translate it with a Trinitarian thinking. That Jesus is the image of this other person. So here's an old man, Father God, and here's a young boy, Jesus, that looks a whole lot like his daddy. But that ain't the way Paul wrote it. That ain't the way Peter preached it. That ain't the way Thomas preached it. That ain't the way John preached it. That ain't the way Irenaeus preached it. And I ain't going to preach it that way. Let me close with this. The hypostasis of God is that which is essential to him as God. And the character or image is that by which all the likeness of the original becomes manifest, as is a perfect facsimile of the whole. It is a metaphor taken from sealing, the die or the seal, leaving the full impression of its every part on the wax to which it is applied. Lord Jesus. So instead of it being another face from a face, it was the hypostasis. The substance of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the rhema of his dunamis. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Can you imagine all the energy and the power that it takes to uphold all things? The universe, the stars, the worlds, the stratosphere, the hemisphere, and all the other spheres. And he upholds them all. Not by logos, but rhema. Not as a second person, but the hypostasis of God. Reveal where? In the face. So John says, and they shall see his face. Now his face has been changed and has been now for 2,000 years. Into the image that it will maintain for eternity. A young man. The Ancient of Days that looks like a young man. But there must be another change in order for us to behold his face. Except this time, the face change will be in us. Look how things have changed. Years ago, to get a letter from one side of the United States to the other, have to go by stagecoach and then Pony Express and mail carriers and all that sort of thing. I take weeks and weeks. You might never ever get it to the other side. Indian might scalp that old Pony Express boy and take your letter and make a fire with it or something. So it might never get across. Then when the rails went west, it speeded up everything. Postal service. Then the telephone. Telegraph first, then telephone. Cell phones. Text. But for those of you who have iPhones and other types of phones, on your phone is a feature called FaceTime. So if you want to talk to that person, you can sit down and punch their number. Or, as I was coming in from South Dakota a couple of weeks ago, I FaceTimed Carol. Beside her name is call or FaceTime. So I pushed FaceTime. I turned the phone around like this, and it comes up on her phone, Donnie, FaceTime. So she turns her phone around, and I see her, and she sees me. I love hearing her voice, but I sure love seeing that face.
Glory.
She had Erica's babies up there, a couple of them. She took pictures of them and sent me a picture of them, you know, eating this and that and the other. And I said, I don't want to just see pictures of them. Send me one of you. So she took her, you know, phone and did that. But here we were, driving down the road. I had my phone turned around like this. She's seeing my face. I'm seeing hers. But you realize this only works for those who have FaceTime on their phones. Now, I couldn't FaceTime a Pony Express rider. I couldn't FaceTime a mail carrier. I couldn't FaceTime you if you don't have it. But if you've got it, and I've got it, and we've got the right connection. Don't you see what's happening with the bride? Come on, friends. We've moved up beyond Pony Express. We've moved up beyond cell phones and the spiritual. Don't you see where the bride is and Christ is? We're FaceTiming each other. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. We're seeing His image and He's seeing us. And we're looking beyond our faults and our failures and our shortcomings. We're not looking in the face of a prophet, in the face of a preacher. We want to see Him. We're hearing His voice. That's wonderful. They've done that for years. But now it's the time of the face. Lord Jesus. I just had a feeling tonight was going to be good. I just didn't know how good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You love Him. Don't you want to FaceTime Him? Thank God for His voice. But I want to see His face. I think it'll help me understand His voice better. But if I can see His face, then the expression of His words, when it comes out, I can see the expression. Oh God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, Your hypostasis could not be revealed in Moses. Your substance. It cannot even be fully revealed at the cleft that day. But when that human temple was filled with the fullness of God after being baptized by John, then we can see the heart of God. The substance of God, the mercy of God, the justice of God. we can see that God had a heart that God could be moved upon to cry. We see the heart of God in a way that Moses could never declare him. For they brought a woman one day who'd been caught in the very act of adultery. The law as it was revealed through Moses and the further revealings and givings down to the people were that such a one was to be stoned. But here was the hypostasis of God. And they brought this woman to you. So they said, Moses said, the law said, this woman's to be stoned. So what do you say, new face? Hallelujah. So the new face stooped down and wrote something on the sand. And he raised up and said, you who's without sin, cast the first stone. Yeah. Moses didn't say that. Jeremiah didn't say it. Ezekiel didn't say it. But it was the hypostasis of God. Now revealed in his permanent likeness. Glory. The temporal image of God reflected in a bush, reflected in a cloud, reflected in a fire. But God finally found his permanent resting place. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us tonight, Lord. How we thank you for your prophets. How we thank you for messengers, apostles, pastors, all that. But Lord Jesus, we don't want to just see the face of a man. Lord, I don't just want to see the face of Brother Branham, or the face of some other preacher. I want to FaceTime you, Lord. If looking in your face made these people to where they could give up everything, I believe if I look at you right and long enough, it'll make me more like you. Help me, Lord. Help these people, Father. We don't want to just call you, as it were. We want to update. We ain't got 4G. We got 5G. Because we got a fivefold. It's given to the body. Hallelujah. Our signal's strong and powerful. We got dunamis running out all four fingers and a thumb. Amen. Dunamis to heal us when we're sick. Dunamis to strengthen us when we're down. FaceTime us, Lord. FaceTime us. So we can see you. Hear the image of your word being expressed and see your face. Somehow I believe if I can look long enough into that face, it'll change mine. Praise God. We love you, Lord. Go with your children. Help each of us, Lord God, I pray. Brother Darren, Brother David heading down to Florida tomorrow, Lord, for a convention down there among more of our brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord God, you'd visit them. May they not see the face of two preachers, but may the face of Jesus be so prevalent in those meetings. May the Shekinah dip down among them, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come back here, Lord willing, this weekend, may the face of God be prevalent among us again. I don't want to see these people, and they don't want to see me. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to see you. Hallelujah. Granted, I pray, dear God. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands in his presence for just a couple minutes before we go? Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. May we catch the substance of the Godhead. The substance of your person. May it be revealed in your face. Lord, the ones who will constantly behold your face in that city are the ones who lived under the dispensations of your face. Amen.
down through the ages. Those who live outside and will only see your face from time to time, they were the ones in time who were only allowed a portion of grace. But the elect, hallelujah, hallelujah, Abraham heard your voice. But oh, how his heart must have been so thrilled that day. The prophet said he was sitting up there in his tent and Sarah was all fussy and everything was going wrong. He said the devil knew a blessing was coming down the road. Glory to God. Little did Abraham know when he got up that morning, the Lord God and two angels, the face of God. Hallelujah! In an Old Testament manifestation. I wonder what he must have thought when you spoke and he knew it was the voice he had heard for many, many years. How will it be for us, Lord God, that day when we behold you, Jesus? And finally, a face with that voice. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Take all the veils away from us, Lord. I know the last one will be removed at the change, but the veils of time, the veils of tradition, the veils of whatever more that hinders from seeing you. Please, Lord, may we be able to see the glory of God in the express image, the character, the print of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then if you are that character, you were the ring, you were the seal. As the king in the Old Testament, many of them even in the New, they would take hot wax, and they would take a document, and that king would have a seal, a ring, or a signet. He would pour hot wax on that document, and he would take his ring and stamp it down inside that hot wax. And that hot wax would bear the image of his ring. So Jesus was the facsimile of God, the character. So then we are to be melted, poured out by the Holy Ghost. So that the very character of God, God wearing his ring as it was. Oh, hallelujah. That Jesus is to strike our life that's been melted, not stone, Lord. You can't take a ring and strike stone. But it's got to be mellow and warm and flexible, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. May our lives have the image of the King. Grant it, Lord God. May we be melted in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that our lives may form around the document of God, the Word. That you, great mighty one, can take your signet, Jesus, and imprint our lives. And when you pull the ring away and the wax cools, it will bear the very image of the signet. Grant it, Lord. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. How many wants to be that image in your life? Don't you want the Holy Spirit to be able to melt you? Friends, don't become hard. Don't become indifferent. Don't become cold and like two tablets of stone to where nothing moves you. But be soft, be malleable, be flexible, like the wax on a document. May your life just mold right around to the Word, that you and the Word just so become one that God can take Jesus and stamp into your life. And you'll be a real Christian. A real believer. Then you will bear the facsimile of God too. You'll be God's 2013 fax. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more
ago.
Won't you give me a heart that's filled with love and make me whole?
Everybody now, let's sing it together. Oh, blessed Lord, oh.
it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see in you.
Let's sing it together as we go. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's Jesus I really want to see. Hallelujah. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend, Lord willing.